This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
John chapter 18 and verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, and this, of course, is the Garden of Gethsemane, which he and his disciples entered. Verse 2 says that Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place where Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Jesus knew where in this garden area that Jesus would be. He knew where he would be praying, where he would be there with his disciples, and that's why they needed Judas to show them where Christ would be. They wanted to arrest him outside of the city. They didn't want to arrest him in the city in the midst of all the crowds, because they were afraid of there would be a lot of tumult, and that would bring the Romans down upon them. So they needed to arrest him outside of the city, and Judas knew exactly where to go, so he was worth paying 30 pieces of silver for him to take him to the place. So then Judas, in verse 3, having received a detachment of troops. Now these troops, these soldiers, were not the Roman soldiers. These were the temple guard. These were Jewish soldiers. These were like the security team, the security guards at the temple. And they were under the authority of the priests and the Pharisees and the chief priest. And a detachment of these troops and officers, in verse 3, from the chief priests and the Pharisees came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" So Jesus went forward to meet them. He was in the garden, he was praying. It's a certain part of the garden that he went to regularly. The disciples knew where that place was, and Judas knew where the place was, and Judas took the soldiers right to him. And as they approached, Jesus went forward, he stepped forward, and surrendered himself. And that's a beautiful thing. Jesus stepped forward, and he surrendered himself. His life was to be given, not taken. His life was to be given freely. In John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, he was to give himself as the ransom, as the propitiation for our sins. He was not to be taken forcibly, but he would surrender willingly to it. In the very like manner, the Christian life is the same thing. As a Christian, you have been given eternal life. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you received him as your Savior. You look to no other way or means with which to be saved. Being saved means that you're going to go to heaven when you die. And you look for no other way to get there but through Christ. So you put your faith upon him. You're now a Christian. And anything more than that, that you might do for the Lord while you're here on earth, is something you do because you give yourself to it. God doesn't forcibly make you do anything. He doesn't make you serve him. He doesn't make you obey him. He doesn't demand it and threaten you if you don't. Every step beyond salvation now is a step that you give yourself. You step forward like Jesus did in the garden. You step forward and surrender yourself to it. So the Christian life is not to be taken, but it is to be, because of love, we give ourselves to the Lord. 1 John 3:16 tells us that we lay our lives down one for another. We give ourselves. That is what we would call, from last week's message, a kingdom principle. In the kingdom, we lay our lives down. We give ourselves to any volunteer work you do, anything you do in prayer, whatever you give in the offering, whatever you do in service to God, in any way, is done because you freely give it. You freely give it. God is not seeking to demand or purchase our loyalty to Him. He doesn't want to demand it, and He doesn't want to purchase it. He doesn't want to barter with you. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. He doesn't want any of that. He would rather win our devotion through love. He loves us freely, puts no strings attached to it, and wants to win our devotion to Him. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us, and loved us, and loved us, and loved us, until we were surrendered to Him in loyalty and in devotion to Him. But we freely give ourselves, just as Jesus stepped forward and freely gave Himself and was the example to us all in that way. In verse 5, chapter 18 of John, they answered him because he asked the question, who are you seeking? And he answered them. They answered him, and they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to him, well, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. And when he had said this to them, that I am he, they drew back and they fell to the ground. So he stood forward, he stepped forward, and he said, I am he, I am the one you're looking for, I surrender to you. And when he said, I am he, they fell backwards to the ground. And it's a beautiful picture for us to say this, that nobody can stand before the Lord unless they stand in grace. Nobody stands before God unless you stand in grace. If you're not standing in grace, as we recently in our Wednesday night class studied the White Throne Judgment, nobody will stand before the Lord who aren't standing in grace. There'll be no acceptable works. There'll be no acceptable church affiliation. There'll be no ceremony that you did when you were young that's going to make you acceptable to God. Only grace. In Romans 5:2, we stand in grace. What is grace? Grace is God's favor towards you. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. There's no way in the world God should give it to you, but He does because He loves you. He says, here's my grace, my favor towards you. And you can stand in my favor before me. There's no other way you can stand before me but by grace. So then in verse 7, He asked them again, who are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am He. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. That's a beautiful thing. Even just as He was throughout His entire life, and just as He was in His death, He is concerned about His disciples going free, even though He's going to be taken captive. He'll surrender Himself, but His concern is that they go free. Here am I, take me, I'll surrender myself. You're seeking me, that's who you want, let these go. And that's His attitude at the cross, let them go. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. Just let others go free and take me. Punish me, let me suffer, let me pay the price, but let them go free. That's always been the attitude of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. Facing death, facing suffering, facing torture, but concerned with the freedom of others, not concerned with Himself. That the saying in verse 9, that the saying might be fulfilled, which He spoke, of those whom You have given Me, that I have lost none. And Simon Peter had a sword with him. He drew it and struck the high priest's servants, whose name was Malchus, and he cut off his right ear. So Peter was exercising his Second Amendment rights and had a weapon and carried it with him. Even though he walked with Jesus, he didn't leave the weapon home. He could have said, well, I'm with the Lord. I don't need a weapon. The Lord will take care of me. That's presumption. It's like Jesus, that's what the devil told Jesus to do. Throw yourself off the roof of the temple. The angels will catch you. God said you'd never, nothing would harm you. That's called tempting the Lord. Obviously, God has a place and a time for, even in the Old Testament, you see with Israel, he has a place for armies. He had a place for soldiers. He had a place for all of that, and was with the armies and was with the soldiers and gave them victory, but used the armies to defend the nation. So there's always a place for defense, and there's always a place for this kind of stuff. So, but that's a different topic. So Jesus said to Peter, put up your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink of the cup which my Father has given me? So he said, at this time, Peter, I know you got a nice sword there, but put it away. And if you read Matthew's gospel, you'll know that Jesus healed the ear of this high priest servant at that same moment. So there would be no forthcoming lawsuit against Peter by cutting his ear off. But put the sword into the sheath. He didn't tell him to get rid of the sword, just put it away for now. Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me? What is the cup? The cup is the will of God. It's the plan of God. All of us have a cup to drink. If we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to follow the Lord, then we have a cup to drink. We have whatever God's will is for your life. And that changes over the course of years. When you're young and you're raising children, you have a cup to drink. It's called raising a family. And so forth. The will of God is always changing for you, but it's always there, and it's always voluntary. It's not forced down your throat. The cup is there, and you can pick it up and you drink it. So it's voluntary. And those that follow the Lord, those that surrender their lives to Christ, pick up the cup. And they do whatever God's called them to do. That's how we live our lives. And so we drink of the cup. And in this case, Jesus said, Peter, don't fight this. And Peter here is, we'll get to this in a minute, but Peter here is kind of surprised at this whole thing. Jesus is being arrested. And Peter's not really aware of the fact that this is exactly what the will of God was for Jesus' life. Even though, as we'll see, Jesus told them over and over again that this is exactly what would take place. When he came to Jerusalem, and Peter was resisting the will of God.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens is a licensed psychologist.